What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. As always, I'm Kyle Corbliss, and it's going to be another great episode. I'm really excited for today. I've had this on the calendar for a few weeks, and this has been a guy that I probably could have tried really hard, really, really hard to get a year ago. But for some reason, I just felt like I wanted to let things marinate and wait and really have a great conversation. So I get to welcome in Wyatt McCubbin today, a guy I've been listening to for a while. Huge fan of his songs. He seems like an awesome guy, and I'm really excited to kind of get to know him a little bit. Wyatt, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me, man. You made my day reaching out about this, man.
All right, well, I appreciate that. I'm really excited to get to hang with you and talk about your music journey and everything that makes that up and dive into all that. It's really crazy. So you're in Nashville. I should say this just because I feel like this is the talk of the town today. I don't know why I feel like I should bring this up, but here in New York, we've had like massive air quality. Like,
man, it's wild you say that. Yes, I've been hearing a lot about that, and mainly because I've got a 4-month-old baby girl at the house.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, man, yeah, we better stay inside tonight.
I've been coughing like a little bit more than typical. Like, I have allergies like everyone, but like,
and
I don't know.
The wildfires are coming from Canada.
Yeah, which, from Canada.
I mean, it makes a little more sense in New York City.
Sure.
But it's pretty wild, man.
It smells like smoke outside.
Bad stuff.
You walk outside, and it smells like a campfire if you walk outside right now.
Gosh,
it's crazy.
Man.
Yeah, it's wild. I was out during the day, and I'm like, hey, it wasn't supposed to rain today. Why does it look so dark? It was orange, like literally orange outside.
Yeah.
It looked like we were on Mars.
Very hazy here.
Very nuts. Very, very nuts. So if I sound raspy, that's why.
That's all right.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, what I got to do, but you know, like, I'm praying for those people up there. Obviously.
Absolutely.
It's a big deal. So if all I do is cough a little bit, we're okay. But, but I want to start off by just kind of, just kind of a bio about you, a quick version of you for people who don't know you. Off recording, we talked about how I introduced my buddy to you. And
yeah.
I think there's a lot of those types of people that listen to this show when it comes out, and I always love to put people on a new artist. So for people who may not know you, just a quick version about yourself.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. There's probably more people that don't know my name than know my name.
And I don't
that's
know if
okay,
I would say
man.
That.
That's what these platforms are for, man. So I appreciate you doing that for
sure.
Independent new artists like me. But
sure.
I am originally from Ohio. I started playing music when I was started writing songs, playing guitar when I was 13 or 14 years old. And it didn't take very long after that for me to make my way to Nashville. My mom and dad driving me down here and setting me up with some just different family friend opportunities that kind of spiderwebbed into some relationships with music people. And it's such a scatterbrained story, so bear with me.
For sure.
I truly started coming down here to Nashville when I was probably about 17. Right out of high school, man, I didn't need to go to any of these job fairs or anything, college admissions people, to know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to play music and write songs. And I was the dumb kid doing that, man, because I could have done something way more productive than what I'm doing. But I just had that fire in me saying, you got to do it, man. You got to go to Nashville. I didn't make the move down here for a long time, but music has been part of my life at this point for half my life.
Yeah.
I'm 28 and so started playing when I was 14 and did a ton of stuff in Ohio and built up my fan base there, and then made my way up here down here to Nashville from Ohio and started writing songs and having a little more luck on the writer side of my world. But man, still paying the bills, playing shows and writing songs. So I've been on several tours and started to put out my own music recently. That's the constant battle between those two worlds of writer, artist. I came to town to be an artist, and I'm an artist no matter if I'm singing the song or not singing the song.
Yeah.
It's just who I am. So it's been cool to get to use that side of my career a little bit more in these recent days and released some new music. And there's some music I'm looking forward to telling you about that, sure. that is definitely in the pipeline for this summer.
Absolutely. And I love that. And I think it's really cool. You started so young that you said, like, this is all I want to do. Right. Cause like, you know, I'm going to be 25 in 2 weeks. Right. Like, so we're not far in age. Right. But the thing was, is that my, what I knew where I wanted to take my love for music. Like I knew I loved music, right? Like I knew that it was a huge part of my life and that music drives my life. It is what I eat, what I sleep, what I breathe. I wake up every single day and I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly, you know, what I want to listen to. And I love that I get to play a very small imprint and footprint of showing people new artists and new songs and geeking about it every single day. Like I love that. Right. Even if I'm not doing it full time every day, like I understand that. Yeah. And I think that I'll get there eventually. But what I love is that there's guys like you that said, hey, like, I don't want to do anything else. And it took me a little while to get to that point to know I don't want to do anything else.
Absolutely. It takes a lot of people a long time to realize what they want to do.
Sure. And it takes to do things that you thought you wanted to do that didn't really work out. And you're like, why isn't this where I want to go, to find that thing where you want to go?
Yep.
I digress, but I think it's awesome that, you know, you had a family that said, hey, like, we'll help you get to that point where we'll guide you in that direction. If this is really what you want to do, how influential is that? And, you know, as a guy from Ohio, we don't hear a lot of country music lover. I mean, there's people that love it, but you don't hear people that want to move to Nashville from Ohio that want to be country music songwriters and country music artists.
I'm about to educate you, man.
Please do. Please tell me I'm wrong.
So just some very selfish, Ohio prideful. We claim them obviously because they are our own, but people like, Dave Allen Coe and Bobby Bear and Earl Thomas Conley. A lot of my favorite singers, even on the guitar player front, a guy, probably one of the most recorded guitar players in country music, a guy named Brent Mason.
Yeah.
Is from Ohio. And then one of my songwriting heroes, Bob DePiro, is from Youngstown, Ohio. And the thing about Ohio, and man, it might be the same up in New Jersey, because I'm wearing this ironworker's hat. I'm not an ironworker, but I would have been a fourth generation ironworker if I hadn't played music. And I'm born and raised in Ohio, but my grandfather was from Campbellsville, Kentucky. Mm. All of these people, these blue collar families like that needed work, moved north. So the McCubbin family, McCubbin name settled in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
My grandfather worked on bridges in New Jersey, just like he worked on bridges in Rockford, Illinois, where my wife's from, which is another hotbed for blue collar. It was at one time the nut and bolt capital of the world, man. And from because of people from Arkansas that moved to Rockford, Illinois. So it's interesting getting into that world. And that's such a big part of my brand. But that's a whole nother probably conversation.
Sure.
My family came from that blue collar side of the world where there wasn't really any abstract career plans like writing songs or like playing music or any kind of thing like that, man. I mean, my grandpa being the iron worker he was, I mean, he would get home on the weekends. He played the guitar and a couple chords and he wrote a couple songs in his life, but it was just so off the wall of a career choice. But pretty immediately, my family was very supportive. I mean, I wouldn't have done it without them, truly, because of how big of a Hail Mary pass it was, even to have mild success in this career. It took them really jumping on board. So them driving me down here was a big part of it. And a little bit, you know, I kind of fudged the first question you asked, which is a bio, which is really just achievements. I mean, like those days in Ohio of playing music, I was kind of the guy that club owners that I buddied up with would call if they had a big national act coming through town. So I checked a lot of things off my bucket list early on in life.
You did.
When the Cuss Auditorium in Springfield, Ohio said, hey, Merle Haggard's playing here. Do you want to open? Mm-hmm. Or JD Legends in Franklin, Ohio said, hey, George Jones is playing here. Would you like to open? Or the Bluestone in Columbus, Ohio, Hank Stratton would call me and say, hey, man, Charlie Daniels is playing. Would you like to open?
Yeah.
So those are definitely some of the things that I lead with in the bio question.
Right.
Because, man, those were my freaking heroes. And they should be everybody's heroes in country music.
For sure.
They're the guys, man. So I was very fortunate to be able to do that because of my parents helping me load gear into a Trailblazer.
Right.
And not a tour bus. Yeah. And drive to these places, man. And and I said, David Allen Coe, me and him had become buds when I was 15 or 16 years old. And I did so many shows with him all over the place. Traveling to places like Louisville or Fort Wayne, Indiana, and building up my fan base up there just from opening up for some of my heroes. So
for sure. You know, I love it because, like, I don't know, I feel like today the there's so many people that want to write the songs, right? And that want to play the music. But there's so many people that don't get out there and do it right away. And you can tell when they finally do, or, you know, just like, unfortunately don't have that support to go ahead and do it. Like,
exactly.
And it's cool that you had that foundation. Well, let me ask you, like you talked about how there was a lot of music in your family. Do you think that the reason why your family and your parents were so like, yeah, we'll help you load the gear and we'll get you there, is because, like, part of them wishes, like, you know, they wish they were able to go ahead and chase that dream, whatever that might have been, right? Like, do you think that there's part of that there? Because you said, like, that shot was such a shot in the dark, but now that you want to do it, it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe we weren't able to go and do whatever that might have been.
Yeah.
And our kid does. Let's help.
Man, I think that's the sign of a great parent.
For sure.
Is wanting better for your children.
Yeah.
I mean, if my daughter in however many years says, hey, Dad, I want to go do this, I mean, who am I to say, no, you shouldn't do that? Here's what I did, you know?
Right.
So I think that it's a big part of it, just wanting better and at least letting – it's a double-edged sword, because sometimes you have to let someone fail. To truly know that's not it.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm sure that was really tough.
Yeah.
For my parents to, that's a big pill to swallow. Like and I mean, shoot, I'm not sitting here like I made it, but you know, it's one of those things where I've done okay. And
you're doing
stuck to my guns, and I enjoy it. And it really took them help them get off the ground, you know,
and you need
to answer your question. I think that's a big part of it.
I think so too. And I think that's great. And I think your parents really helped you out, and I think they raised a great man. And I think that's, you know, they raised someone who wanted to go and chase their ambitions. And there's a lot of people that are afraid to do that. And I think it's really cool that you said, screw it, at 15, I can go open for Merle, right? I can go do these things. You don't want to know what I was doing at 15, right? Like, I wasn't doing that. I promise you that. You know what I'm saying? So it's cool that you did it and you weren't afraid to do it. And you, like you said, you stuck to your guns and you cut your chops. And that's so cool. Right. Did you ever get up there on these stages when you're opening for these acts and say, like, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, like, what are you playing? Cause you don't have music out. So like, what are you playing where, cause you can't get up there and play a Charlie Daniels song when you're opening for Charlie Daniels, unless you have the cojones.
Hey man, don't think I didn't think about it though.
Yeah, I know you did. Cause I would.
I was the kid that had written a couple hundred songs in my bedroom by myself by the time I was 15 or 16, man. Once that bug bit me, it was over. Like, that's what I wanted to do. My dad was my football coach, and it broke his heart like it broke my buddy's heart when I said, I don't want to play friggin' football. I want to play guitar because I'm tired of having broken fingers because I can't play guitar because I'm out there catching 10-yard outs and jamming my fingers because I suck at football, you know? So anyway, I was writing songs, and I had recorded a couple. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't even really say this because people will look for them if they want to. I had recorded a couple regional records, just me, that are very hard to get a hold of, but it's really a documentation of the entire journey of my songwriting. Especially when I was 17, I put out a record of all songs I'd written by myself. When I first started coming down to Nashville, my first publishing deal, a guy named Billy Yates helped me record 5 or 6 demos, and I put that on a, you know, CD. And man, we sold them things like hotcakes at them shows.
I could see.
And I put bands together and played those songs. And there's still people that request those songs.
That's awesome.
Today. And I have to say, I'm so sorry, but I don't know them. Like, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. And I appreciate you being here for that long, but I got some stuff coming out, you know, check out the new stuff. But
it's crazy to think that you're so young and you've just been still doing it for so long. You know what I mean?
It's these last couple of years have started that full circle.
Yeah.
It takes that long to feel like you've come full circle.
For sure.
With some of the relationships that I've built here in town. And
yeah.
Like, I'm literally one of the guys on my publishing teams is a guy that I met when I was 17.
Right.
And now I'm turning songs in and saying, "Hey dude, what do you think about this?" 11 years later. What's even weirder is the guy that his name's Ashley Gorley. The best to ever do it. I mean, the most successful songwriter there is. He runs one of the companies that I write for. I write for two companies, 50 Egg and Tape Room. He runs Tape Room. Well, when I was 14, my parents brought me down here and I'd played a songwriter festival and left one of those CDs that I was talking about that was really bad in the Best Western bar. And I'd left town, you know, and had a great time, my first time in Nashville. And the next week, I didn't realize, but I'd left it in that bar, and the guy that ran house, like that ran the sound system, was running it as house music when I left.
Wow.
And
really?
The next week I got a call from Mark Miller from Sawyer Brown.
Yeah.
Which was random. And he said, "Man, I got a management company. I'd love to talk to you." So I had a management deal at 14 with Mark Miller. So talk about a full circle moment. That deal didn't last very long. But we're still close, you know. I've seen him from time to time, but now Ashley Gorley bought Mark Miller's house. So the same house that I went to at 14, I'm going to at 28.
That's so crazy.
There's been a lot of weird full circle, definitely God orchestrated moments.
That's so crazy.
This journey, man. And I'm rambling, and I apologize.
No, but that's
you're the guy that has to edit this, so I really apologize. So.
But that's the best part. Is like, I do this because I want to dig those stories out, right? Like I knew you were part of Tape Room, right? Like I knew that. Like,
yeah.
Like anyone who knows what they're talking about can figure one probably already knows that, or you do a Google search and you can figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Like I knew you were part of 50 Egg. Like I knew those things, but I didn't know that. The houses were the same, right? Like I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
And that's the beauty of this platform that is very small, but it is something that I'm very proud of, and I can pull these stories out. And at the end of the day, like I want to be a storyteller. I want to be able to direct these stories. And I think that it's really cool that you can remember those things and you know, recollect them and turn them into this full circle moment. I think that's awesome. And that's why I said this and you know, to ramble myself, people say like you know, there are older people that ask what the hell a podcast is, right? And to me, a podcast is not sitting there and saying, okay, well, you know, I might ask you who's your biggest influences, right? But that's not the something that I essentially care about at the end of the day. What I care about is those stories, right? Like people say like what's the difference between a podcast and a radio show, right? Like podcast, you know, I'm really focusing on a conversation. Like I want you to say what you feel and vice versa. Man. And I don't know. I started doing this 3 years ago and that's why I started doing it. And that's why three years later, this coming month, here we are. Right. So, and you know, just to brag on myself a little bit, 161 straight weeks, never missed a Friday ever and have not since, and will not going forward for at least the next 5 weeks, unless something crazy happens.
Dude, I've
never missed. Just saying.
That is massive. I mean, you know how massive that is.
And it's taken a lot of weeks where like my girlfriend or my mom or like my brother's like, you know, you can take a week off. You know that. Like you can take a week. I'm like, man, I don't want to. Like I enjoy, yeah. I love talking about country music. I love music more than anything in this world. If there's a thing, not a human being, if there's a thing that I love, there's not a single thing that comes close to the love I have for music and country music. And to have guys like you and, you know, 160 others that have given me a small part of their time just to talk about how great music is. Oh, music dude. Is the best, man. Music is the best.
Music is undefeated.
It is there when no one else is. When you think no one else is, it is right there, I promise you. So that was my ramble for a second. But that's why I love these stories, man. That's why I love when you say they're full circles. And
amen. And
I love this stuff. So thank you again. But I think that's really cool that you know, you're still like writing songs at the same house and all of these things. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Now, as a kid, right? As a 14, 15 year old kid, you know, when I was 14, 15 years old, I talk a lot now, right? I may have talked a lot as a kid, but I was afraid. Like I can talk to a brick wall now. I couldn't talk to a brick wall when I was 15 years old. Like, how do you approach those relationships? And, you know, who are these like, you know, older figures that help you direct this world that, you know, you're entering into for the first time and you're fairly new. And all you know is that you like to play the guitar, you like to listen to music, you like to write your own music and you like to play.
Yeah.
Like who helps you direct that world and figure out how to, you know, get into these bars? Obviously you said you like would leave your records around and people would pick them up. And
yeah. I mean, it was a very small operation at first. I mean, my mom was like cold calling people, which was, I mean, just the most beautiful redneck thing in the world to do.
Get some cojones, man.
I mean, hey, my boy, he plays country music and he's pretty good. You know, you should have him at your place. So that was a part of it on some of these things. But I mean, at first, so the biggest town near me in southwestern Ohio is a town called Springfield, Ohio. And I mean, there's a lot of people there. And that was my stomping grounds. And man, there was honky tonks where you could put 300-400 people in there.
Yeah.
And you could freaking pack it out. And you could do that a couple times every other several months to you know, play it out right and make sure people were there. There's a lot of people that might listen to this that remembers back some of those shows. And it was a very, very local, small thing at first that just that I need to get back to, honestly, because I feel like, you know, as much of a blessing as moving to Nashville was, it definitely put somewhat of a pause on me playing as frequently up there. Man, though, some of the most killer music fans that I've ever played to are right there in Ohio, and my favorite shows to play are back home, obviously, because people just, oh, it's so much fun. As much fun as it is for them, it's just as much fun for me. So that's a big goal of mine in the coming years. But, man, people help navigate things. It's been a spider web of people. I mean, really. I mean, I mentioned my parents. I mentioned there was a – you also talk about, you know, I don't know if my ability to talk to a brick wall is a – con or a pro, but
that's what I say.
I got a gig working at a local radio station in Xenia, Ohio, a town just outside of Dayton. And my co-host was a guy that I used to hire to play steel guitar in my band when I was 14 or 15. I got this radio gig when I was 19, and he was on the radio station in my, like, he was the local legend radio guy in my area. His name was Chubby Howard. He was in his late 80s when I started hiring him to play in bands. So by the time I got to the radio station to actually work with him, which was totally another full circle bucket list thing, he was in it. He was 90.
That's crazy.
And we would be on live radio every weekend for about 5 years. And that really got my stage presence up in the sense of, okay, the red light's on. There is no turning back. There is no kill switch. There is no panic button if something goes wrong. You are spinning vinyl records CDs and some stuff in the computer on live radio. If something goes wrong, figure it out. It's live. That's it. Yeah. Live is the most energetic word that I've ever heard in my life. And until you've been in that seat where you're either working, you don't understand the impact of the word live until you work on radio or you work in an electric company. It is just freaking wild, man. And it just teaches you a lot. And it teaches you how to go with the flow. And there is nothing that can possibly happen on this podcast, on a future radio tour, or in a live setting on stage. There's nothing that can happen that will throw me off guard. Yeah. You can't throw it. I know every curveball that's ever been thrown.
Yeah.
I worked on radio with a 90-year-old man. He was a pro, and I'm not saying anything about that, but I had to be on my toes for him to be done talking, saying, right. Okay, what do you got?
Yeah.
And then me have to cue up the next record and wind it back. And you know what I mean? So that taught me a lot in the sense of just being an entertainer alone.
That's awesome. It's funny you say that, because that's exactly what got me out of my shell too. Promise you that.
Well, I had a feeling there was some kind of radio thing, and that's the beauty of these, I mean, podcasts, man. You talk about a dream radio station to work for. Why not just have your own radio station?
Exactly. Exactly. You can do whatever you want. You can talk to whoever you want. You can talk about whatever you want. It is totally balls in your court. Go for it. And you're right though, but you're absolutely right. When I went to college, same thing. Worked in radio, did some college television, and that totally ripped me out of my shell, because you never know what's going to happen. And it's you and whatever's in front of you, a microphone, a camera, whatever it might be.
Yep.
You have the ability to make or break yourself. Something's going to happen. Got to work on your toes.
It's a whole lot like walking out in the middle of a 10-acre plow field with a hoe handle and a tin can, sticking that hoe handle in the ground, putting the tin can on top of it, and just talking to it for about 10 hours. That's what you got to do.
You don't see anyone else listening. It doesn't matter. You're still talking.
Who the hell? You don't know who's listening.
That's
you
right.
Got a freaking clue.
That's right. That's what makes it so great. I love it. See, that's so cool. I think that's incredible. And it's so cool that there's, you know, like, I knew going into this that you could talk. Like, I knew that you could have a conversation. I knew that I wasn't going to be pulling out of you. And it's so cool that the same thing that got me out of my show also did the same for you. And I think that's
what man.
I love
that. Love that.
That's incredible. So now let's fast forward a few years here and first off, this is what I wanted to say first. I meant to say this before you're a dad. You're a new dad.
Man.
Congratulations. Oh, yeah. How awesome is that?
Holy smokes, man. She's at home smiling right now, I guarantee it. And when I get home, she'll be just grinning ear to ear, man.
I bet. She gets it from you. That's right.
She's the best thing ever, man. Her mama is just a rock star, too.
I love it.
Gosh. Talk about the blessed ain't even the word, man.
Yeah.
It has blown the doors off of what I thought life was.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
I bet it's like, it's a 180, right? It's gotta be a 180 from, you know,
everything. In the best way. I wasn't running from this kind of life, man, but it is a 180 in the absolute correct, right. In the right direction.
I love it. What is the one thing that you thought you were prepared for fatherhood, and now you're just like, well, cause like, you know, your daughter's, you know, she's a baby. So like, I'm sure that there's some things where you're like, yeah, I'm ready for this, but you didn't know that you weren't ready for it, but you acted on your
journey. I mean, the biggest thing, and any new parent will tell you this, but when they walk you to the car, they help you put her in the car seat, and they walk you to the car with her, and you put her in the car, and then and then you turn around to the doctors or whoever walked you out, and then you realize, oh, wait, yeah, we cool. You're not coming with me. Now I have to take this human being home and make sure that she keeps breathing and she keeps eating and all the other bodily functions that go along with parenting. that's the biggest eye-opener that you can't be prepared for. You can't be prepared for how amazing the human body is that you can function on as little sleep as you get in the first several months of parenthood.
I bet.
God bless my wife.
Yeah.
Just and then me, they can't prepare you for. Oh, cool, man. Here's 15 or 20 tour dates where you're going to be gone.
Yeah.
And you have to tell your wife that when your team, you know, your, it's just,
yeah,
it's, then thank God she is so supportive, but man, there's some times where I wouldn't support me.
Sure.
If I was her, like, no, staying home, man. Dang it. What are you doing?
Hey, it's teamwork, man. You got it. It's all about teamwork. It's all about working here, working there, and it all works out in the end. I love it. Congratulations.
Thank you,
buddy. I mean, I already know you're a killer dad, but it's going to even just be that much more awesome. I love it. Well, at what point are you going to start just start playing her all the great music and just hope that she latches?
Oh, that's already happened. That happened before she was into this universe, man. She has had an education already, man, and she loves music. What's funny, and I don't know, I mean, it. I don't know, man. I will never push music on her. I'll never push anything like that on her, you know. There'll be guitars tuned up in the corner. She wants to pick them up, fine. But that bottom lip will pucker over some songs.
Yeah.
Which tells me that she feels stuff at a different level.
Yeah.
Like it's not just puckering up because she's sad that you're not holding her. There is a certain note that comes over a speaker, and she's feeling every piece of that music. It is the weirdest thing, man.
That's awesome. She's going to be talented.
I didn't come from a musical family, really. I had some relatives that, family members that played a couple chords on a guitar, but there was no insane musical, like everybody played, everybody sang. My wife's family, on the other hand, it is a different ball game. So maybe it's a mixture of both sides.
Two positive music figures. Never know. She could be.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
She could be the next big thing. 18 years from now, look out.
You might be asking her to be on the podcast.
That's right. I'll be almost 40. Oh, geez. God. That's wild, but awesome. Yeah. That's incredible. I love it. And, that's just so cool. That's so, so cool. You know, you mentioned how, you know, you were offered some tour dates as that, which is probably like the worst timing ever, but also you're just like, man, this is still so cool. Right. That was the Cameron Marlowe tour, right? Or no?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had been on, you know, I feel like, man, they were so generous. They honestly gave me too many dates, and I told them that. I'm like, hey, you need somebody different and better on these shows for this spring tour. After the fall tour, I was like, man, y'all hadn't had enough of this? Like, you haven't heard Honky Damn Talk one too many times? Are you
sure?
I'll
hear it 100,000 times more. Why don't you? Come
on. So anyway, they offered me those spring dates too, man. And Cameron has become, I mean, even before that tour, he was one of my better friends in town.
Nice.
Just because me and him resonate with each other, just where we come from and what our upbringing was and what kind of music we like. He's just a good dude, man. And the whole crew, the whole band and crew has become some of my best friends.
Awesome.
So I don't think that's the last of the tour dates, but there was a pile of them and we got them done. So
Maybe I'll get to another one.
I hope you're right.
That
man.
Was a blast of a show. When you guys came out and sang the Big and Rich song, Save a Horse. I'm not kidding. It got a little rowdy where I was standing.
That song is, that cover is not even fair to put in a set list because there was not a place. And New York City went hard.
You'd be
I remember
surprised,
feeling
right?
Like there was a couple nights where I'm like, holy shit, this is good. I can say that, right?
You can say whatever you want.
There was some, I could tell there was an energy where it's like, this place is freaking boiling, man. Like,
body to body, man.
Good God, they're losing their minds. And it's just a cool reset button too, man, because you can't not have fun when you hear Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. You know, it's, hey, man, you got to do that.
It was a blast. The whole thing was awesome. And it's so funny because so when I was there, you know, we got there fairly early to make sure because, you know, there's very limited actual seats. So, you know, you're just kind of, you're all standing there, which I think is awesome. And that was actually my first time at the Gramercy and I loved it. I would totally go back.
Dude,
and
it was a cool room. That
cool
standing
room
kind of thing.
Cool room. Yeah. Really cool room. And we positioned ourselves so that the bar was like right here. So I rarely had to, I didn't really have to walk that far. I just had to do a little, you know, and they had a $5 PBR on in cans. I was like, hit me with those all damn day. $20, 24 ounces. I'm good. Give me the $5 PBRs. I'm all set. So I was having a good time, and we were all hanging out, and you come out and do your set, and I'm obviously locked in. And you know, I had a few people around me. They're like, man, this guy's pretty good. Who is he? I was like, this is why I'm a coven. He's written more songs than you can probably count. And I'm like, and he's probably one of the, you know, most talented writers in country music. And he was really, I was like, yeah, here's his Instagram. So I pulled my phone up and I showed him his Instagram.
Dude, come on.
Like, you should follow him. I was like, just trust me. Like
Kyle, you're hired, dude.
Listen,
just go everywhere and do that.
I'll do it for free. You don't even have to pay me. I'm in. But dang, no, but I was like, dude, like, cause there was a couple of people that just by standing there in that crowd, like you just like bump into people and you start talking to them. And there was just a handful of people that we bumped into. I was like, well, yeah, listen, man, like, you know, Wyatt's been doing his thing for a bunch of years at this point. He started putting out his own music a few years back and he's really good. And, you know, I think that like, if you're a fan of country music and you're a fan of songwriting, like this is, you know, on one of the guys that you should have your eyes on. And then everyone,
and that's awesome,
gave a follow and like looked at the song, and then you played Honky Damn Tonk and then they all downloaded it. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. that's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. Well, I mean, I didn't ask you, but how did you hear my music?
Oh, I mean,
is it just a social media thing? Obviously,
probably.
I hadn't been to New Jersey, you know?
Right. It's been years at this point. It was probably a social media thing. I've been on the McCubbin train for at the very least 3 years, probably more than that. That's but crazy, but my thing was is that and I always tell people this, that like I was a very basic country music fan about when I turned like probably like 14 or 15, I'd say, probably closer to 15. And I like started listening to a lot of the basic guys on the radio, and I grew up on a lot of classic rock, and so it just kind of, you know, went hand in hand. Just as I got older, I started becoming more and more obsessed. And there were some things that went on in life where I kind of needed music to be there. And for some reason, country music was that thing where that really touched my soul. And I knew that, like, you know, a lot of these things singing about, you know, certain topics, I was like, man, like I needed this song today, or I needed this song last week or the week coming. Right. Like, so it was always there. And just as I got older, I became more and more obsessed with the art of songwriting. And the one tip for me, I don't know if I've ever actually said this, but the one big tip for me, it was 2017, December, I think it was December 10th. I went to see Garth Brooks, here in New Jersey. And I go to see Garth, and we get there a little early, and we're standing there in the concourse, and Mitch Rozelle starts playing opens for Garth. And I hear this song and I'm like, who the hell is that? I was like, this is crazy. So I go out and I start watching Mitch, and I'm like, man, he's just up there with a guitar. I was like, I've never seen anyone do that, because that was like probably like my third or fourth concert. You know, I saw, like, before that I saw Brantley Gilbert and Rascal Flatts one more in there, and
big rocking shows.
Right. And I was like, man, this guy's, and when I saw Brantley Gilbert, Luke Combs opened and he had a whole band, right? So that's a long time ago, right? So I see Mitch playing with his guitar. I'm like, man, this guy's like totally captivating everyone. He's just standing up there with a Gibson or whatever he's playing, right? I was like, that's incredible. Like, and his songs are so powerful. So it was at that moment where I realized that songwriting was what was going to drive my life going forward in terms of what I loved and what I was passionate about. I don't write songs. I can't even play the guitar. I can't hold a tune for shit. That's for sure. But I knew that this was the one thing that was going to, you know, make me the happiest. So, long story short, but it was at that moment where I became obsessed. The bug bit me. And from then I went from the most basic, you know, like the Rascal Flatts and the Brantley Gilberts of the world to everyone starting at like,
and that's so cool. Randy
Travis, and I went backwards. I went totally backwards.
Oh, come on.
And now I'm like a human jukebox. Like I got songs coming out of my ass left, right, and center. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
But that was my moment. And I think that that's why I really was captivated by you, is like, it was probably at some point I was scrolling through social media and I said, you know, I went through like, and I think most people do this and I'm totally rambling, but I went through a moment where I said like, you know, country music is my favorite thing in the whole wide world. And there's just this sound that I'm looking for that I'm not hearing right now. And I'm not sure why, but I'm not hearing it. And at that point, I didn't know how to critically understand why I wasn't hearing it. But I just knew I wasn't. And I said, well, like, what's going on? So like, you know, I was following people and I don't know what popped up or on Instagram or whatever it was. And I was like, I stumbled across one of your videos and I can't even remember what you were singing, but I just remember being like, holy shit, like this is, and then there was other guys obviously as well, but I was like, this is like what you're looking for. And this is a young guy who's an old soul. And that's what I loved. And that's what got me. So
that's great, man.
Here we are, man. Here we are. I think it's fantastic. And it's the greatest thing ever. It really is. Country music is the best. And I tell that to everyone, no matter what you believe, country music is absolutely by far, bar none, the greatest thing to happen in my life. And that's for sure. That is an absolute fact. So, and I know you agree. So let's talk about some music here. Cause I've been rambling.
Come on.
You've put out since 2021, you've put out 1, 2, 3, 4. I can count. That's 5 songs. And they're fantastic. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Wyatt. It's 2023.
There ain't enough music out. I know. So like,
trying to dog you. I know.
I know. So I've been sneaking a new song into the set list and, the whole intro to that song is literally what you're saying.
Yeah.
I said, well, I put out a couple songs about a year and a half ago. And I said, well, there's one major problem with what I just said. It was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So there is a song coming y'all's way. I don't know if there's an exact date on it, but it's early July.
Yeah.
And I just shot some killer, just so much fun content up in Ohio, where I'm from, which was even cooler to do. It's not just standing up against some random brick wall in Nashville and taking a picture. It's going back to my grandpa's garage and where we put so much Bondo on cars. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
And sanded and worked. And I hold a flashlight while he hollered at me. And I learned so many life lessons. And then I did some stuff at a bridge where me and my buddies drank beer before we should have. And hunted crawdads and so there's music coming y'all's way. We cut 4 or 5 things full band, a couple of things I did acoustic straight to 2-inch tape.
Yeah.
One tape. Like that, no BS, man. Just I was nervous as a cat. Because you just get one shot and that tape's pretty expensive.
Sure.
And then there's a couple of things on a record that never got released, but I'm putting out that I'm excited about, dude. Like it's there. So there's a combo of different kind of chapters of my life coming out. And the plan is to bundle those new things coming out. We'll release some of them as singles, you know, one a month or whatever the time frame is. We'll bundle those with the 5 that are out now. Yeah. That way I can just go ahead and make y'all your own playlist.
I love
that way. You don't have to keep going back and clicking on the old singles.
Yeah.
You know, just make it a record, obviously, and I'm excited. It's not my first record, but it is my first record, you know, in this new world of even streaming and stuff. So it's not such a new world. I sound like such an old man, but
it is a new world. You've been doing it for so long.
Yeah. So, but man, these new songs, man, I'm in a different chapter of my life to where a lot of the best songs I write.
Yeah.
Get recorded by big artists.
Yeah.
Thank God. That's awesome. That's a hell of a problem to have. And I've been able to, on this new batch, be a little selfish where some of these things were on hold and some of these things were about to get recorded. But I said, man, I just kind of want to put this out myself.
If y'all
want to put them out too, that's cool too. You know, I'll take all the cuts. Everybody. I don't care.
Why not? Double dip.
But at this point, man, I'm doing this in such a selfish way in a good way.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, man. It took me a long time to realize that I should just release stuff that I'm a fan of myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more personal it is to me, seems like the more personal it is to everybody else. Just like tearing down memories. I didn't think that would connect with people. You know,
you didn't think so.
But then I realized, wait, okay, I'm talking about my hometown. Well, guess what? Everybody's got a hometown. And guess what happens to every hometown?
Yeah.
It freaking changes.
Yeah.
So I'm just really getting on board with writing more honest.
Oh, that song's so damn good, man. That song's so good.
Thank you, dude.
That song's so freaking good. I love that, though, because, like, you're right. Like, but it is cool that you have the problem that, like, X person can say, hey, why? Like, you know, like, obviously Cameron, like, has cut a handful of your songs, too. It's like, hey, I'm going to cut this song, right? It's
hey, like, dude,
you're going to tell no to Cameron Marlowe? Like, come on. No, you're not.
We toured last fall and we toured this spring. If you think we didn't write some freaking hammers on the road, wait till you hear some of this stuff.
I bet you did.
It is.
I bet you did.
It is fun, man.
Yeah.
I sound so goofy saying we wrote some hammers. Like, I hate to even talk about it on songs like that, but I'm talking about them as in the fact that they're his songs now. And yeah. I'm so excited as a fan to hear these things on a freaking record, man. Like, it's so cool. He's such a just powerhouse dude, man. And him and so many other artists, man. I mean, obviously guys like Cody Johnson and Riley Green and have been so good to me over the last couple of years. And there's some more stuff in the pipeline with both of those guys that.
And this is some country stuff. That's like my favorite part. It's like, this is country stuff.
Man, I mean, Cody Johnson just recorded one. I can't wait for the world to hear. I mean, and I say this, and who knows, it might not even make the record, but it is a song. I just freaking love the song. And it's got this crazy lyric on it. And it's, I mean, he cut it for sure. He cut it. I don't know, man. I'm more inspired by music now than I ever have been. And that's a big statement.
That's incredible. So let me ask you then. So a big thing that I, you know, not like every so often and, you know, a lot, like I have, I'm a really big component of, like, if I believe you and I believe in you and I think you're authentic and I love your stuff, let's do it. Right. So, like, there are some times where I have people that have been in Nashville for 6 months and they have one song out and they're just trying to see what happens. Right.
Yeah.
And we have conversations back and forth. And, you know, I've been doing this for a few years at this point where I've just had, and I've been very blessed to say that I've had conversations with everyone in the spectrum, like someone who's all the way up here and someone who's just making their way up. Right. And I think that's really cool. But because of that, I've heard all these different perspectives. And the one thing that I love the most is even if you are the most seasoned veteran, you still want to one-up yourself as you put more out and write more. Right.
Well, you have to.
Is that difficult or does that keep you going? Does that make it exciting?
It's a double-edged sword because one side of it is, nothing you've done before matters.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right.
What are you doing now? I had to learn to celebrate the little victories way early on because whether it was a big cut or a small cut, man, I got to celebrate because this is what I want to do. And I'm following out these dreams and doing that. But at the same time, I knew if I just spent my whole life listening to the playlist of songs that I've had recorded up till now, and that's all I do, you got to eat too. Yeah, you got to get out there and work. So every day is a new song. I write Monday through Friday if I'm not on the road on the weekend. So, like, I mean, I'll write 150 songs a year and have stuff cut or have stuff not cut, but I'm always, always chasing things, and when I say chase in a good way, like I'm not chasing my tail, I'm chasing things, I'm targeting things and trying to find ways to get songs recorded by other people. And I'm trying to, the hardest cut that I've ever got is on myself.
Yeah.
Because I hate everything.
Right.
I'm the most picky. I would hate to pitch myself a song.
Sure.
Because, man, and I'm not saying that like any kind of big shot thing. I just like what I like, and I'm such a fan of music. And if it doesn't meet this certain threshold where it's like, that kills me,
Yeah.
I mean,
is there a selfishness that comes along with it where you're just like, hey, maybe I'm not like, do you ever write a song where you're like, this is really, really good and I like this, but I know this isn't for me. Like, is that where your pickiness comes from? Is it where it's like, you know,
yeah,
this is a good song and I would believe in a song?
but then the other side of it is I have to enjoy what I'm doing.
Right.
Like I have to want to sing Honky Tonk Talk
Yeah.
to truly like
You're gonna
make
end up
you
saying it for the next 15 years, 20 years.
to make you enjoy. I have to enjoy it, because if
Right.
I'm not enjoying it, I think you might I think you'll know.
No, you would. You would. You absolutely would. You're right. You're 100%.
That's where my pickiness comes from.
Yeah.
It has to be. I mean, I'm a storyteller. Not everything has to be completely 100% autobiographical, but I got to enjoy it. Whether it's a fun song, whether it's a sad song, whether it's whatever, man. So, and I feel like some of my favorite artists are that way. And it's an interesting chase, man, because it's hard to, if I'm having a hard time writing myself a song, and I know me pretty well, like
Pretty well, I'd say so.
let me try to write George Strait a song, you know, but that's a challenge. It's a whole another set of challenges for me, and I love
It's always a puzzle,
it,
man, right?
man.
Like every puzzle's different.
And I you talking to a guy that hates puzzles. I
Yeah.
hate them. I can't sit down and put a I can't put a 5-piece puzzle together.
Amen.
But I'll sit down and write a song for a year.
Yeah. I love it, man. And the best
Yeah.
part is like, you know, you talk about this stuff and the one thing is always constant. It's like you talk about it and there's a smile on your face. It's bigger than any smile ever. And like that shows me that you just love this stuff, right?
It's the
Well,
best, man. I
so
mean,
right. It is the best. It is the best. There's nothing better.
yeah.
Nothing better. I
Because
don't know.
I'm like you, man. It helped me in so many ways, finding even guys that weren't well known, but guys that just literally affected me. The verb effect.
Yeah.
Like guys like Chris Knight and guys like Harley Allen and guys like, I mean, more on the songwriter front. I mean, but even voices like Vern Gosden and Keith Whitley, they
Sure.
affected me, man. It just changed my entire life.
I couldn't
And
agree more.
I hope that I have just even somebody that feels 1% of that from my music. If they feel, because when I say that, there's so much passion behind that, because I mean it with all my freaking heart. If someone feels 1% of that from something I do, that's a victory for me, man.
And I promise you, there's someone out there that does. I promise
Yeah,
you.
I
You may
hope,
not
man.
know it yet, but I promise you that there is absolutely someone out there that
And
feels
even if it's later on, man, I stumbled onto guys like Chris Knight later on when he already had a
the same.
couple records out. Even if some kid stumbles onto my fourth or fifth album, if I'm lucky enough to make that many albums, and he says, "Holy crap, if every record's like, I want every record. I want to go through every record just like this." I mean, how can you argue that? Man,
I mean,
that's,
tell me that you and I haven't done that a million times. That's the coolest
dude,
thing
I
I've
will latch.
ever done.
I will hear something I love, and I will listen to their whole catalog.
That's right. I agree.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too. I couldn't agree more. I think that everything you've said here today is I don't know why, but we're a lot alike. We're a lot alike. We're
Yeah,
very
man, I can
different, but we're a lot
tell.
alike. And I think that's really cool. And I think there is someone out there that has been touched and really affected by one of your songs, and whether you know it yet or not, like there is someone out there, and I think that is the coolest thing about music, is and especially in the age of social media, like I think that is the coolest thing that someone can become a Y McCubbin fan just because someone like some idiot like me shared your video on
Oh,
Instagram, right? Or
yeah.
like, you know what I mean? Like I think that is
Yeah.
the coolest thing, and I don't know. There's a lot of negatives to a lot of the social media stuff, but there's a hell of a lot of positives too, and that's one of them. So,
A massive tool in that toolbox, man.
yeah, it is. It really is. I hope if there's someone out there that's listening right now, and they say, "Hey, I was really affected by a Wyatt song." Why don't you just let them know? Just let them
Come
know, man.
on,
Come on. I think
man.
that's the best part, right? You know what I mean? Add
Just
them on Twitter. Say,
please
"I found
do it.
you."
Please do it so I can retire already, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's it. He's been doing this for 11 years.
I'm tired, man.
tired. He's tired. Unbelievable. Why, man, thank you for coming to hang out with me. Thank you for telling your story and you know, sharing your songs and your writing with the world. You truly are, you know, one of the most talented people I've ever gotten the chance to meet. And I think that you know, you're only destined for success in the next, you know, 30, 40 years. Sorry, you can't retire anytime soon. So you're locked in. You're a dad now. You're screwed. You got at least 5 years in you. That's it. Wyatt, thanks for coming to hang with me, man. And, you know, let's do it again sometime. Why not? I can't wait to see music.
Dude, thanks for doing what you're doing, man. And guys like me, independent artists, and even, you know, guys that aren't independent artists that just need new people to hear their music, man. They need guys like you. So keep on the firing line. Keep it up.
Well, I appreciate that. And trust me, we're not stopping because I just can't. I would be miserable if I did. So,
sir.
we will not stop. And you know, thank you for everyone who tunes in and supports and does all the good stuff and follows and sends me text messages when they thought they liked an episode. And I really appreciate that. And that means a lot to me. But everybody, you can go and listen to Wyatt's music wherever you stream music, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you stream, share it with your friends, go catch them at a show. And, I don't know, just rock out to it. The stuff's awesome. I mean, listen, honky damn tonk. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. Everybody go follow Wyatt on Instagram at Wyatt McCubbin, all one word. And you can stay up to date with music and posts and show announcements and all that good stuff. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Go share it with your friends. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Kyle Corbliss. That's Wyatt McCubbin. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.